I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners. Good morning. It is Wednesday, October 19th, 2016. All three commissioners are present, which constitutes a quorum. Our first order of business is approval of the consent calendar. Are there any items that staff or commissioners wish to either highlight or remove? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Move for approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's approved. We move on to decision and action. Jerry, please come forward. Assistant County Counsel Jerry Urbage, declaring the Sal La C Sanitary District dissolved. Do we indeed get to chloroform this one?
It's a good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, Jerry Urbage. And Wayne has had a plan of tidying up some things. We have about five different districts or so that may need to be dissolved, and they're all in various, we're working on that. And this is the first of about the five to be taken care of. We got to be brief, we received from the state of Oregon a notice that this particular district had not been filing its reports with the Oregon Department of Revenue. And so there's a procedure to begin dissolution. When we went through the process, what we found is that Sal La C was completely annexed into Lincoln City. And so there's a statute that makes it easy for us. This will be the easiest of the dissolutions. It's ORS 222-510, provides whenever the entire area of, in this case, the sanitary district is annexed to the city, then by operation of law, that district does not exist. So this is on everybody's books. So this order of the board will help. It'll be a matter of housekeeping. I've been in contact with the clerk. The clerk is aware of this being on the agenda. I think it's a good thing for the board. It'll take care of the first of at least about five districts that we're getting cleaned up.
Okay. Questions or comments? Commissioner Thompson, you like to kill things. Would you like the honor of making the motion?
Okay. Golly. I know my role in this office.
You're our designated hitman.
Okay. I see. I was not looking at your place where we were. Decision action. I'd like to declare the Sal La C Sanitary District as dissolved.
I'll second that motion.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Commissioners, can I just note for one thing? I'd like to thank Mr. Herbage for the work he's done on this, but it was interesting as we got into this whole process of looking at these districts. It's not a simple matter. I mean, I know the state's perspective is very simple. You know, they don't file something for three times, you dissolve it. But as you have to do a lot of research to get to the point of actually dissolving, and we're discovering with all these things that there are little quirks and paths you have to follow down to the end to make sure before you do the dissolution. It's not a simple process of just entering an order and dissolving it. You really have to do the research, and I really appreciate Jerry's work on this. So
I guess I'm going to plead ignorant here. Since I killed the thing, I want to know how it died. What kind of quirks are we talking about that you would run into?
All kinds of quirks in terms of whether or not the district actually had any assets, whether it actually created any kinds of services, whether those services have been taken over by another entity. We're finding in one case we'll hear about there's some planning issues around why the district was created in the first place, and that you in fact may end up not wanting to dissolve one of the districts because of those planning issues, even though it isn't currently serving any functions. So there's all kinds of stuff. There's reasons why these districts weren't dissolved just like that. Because we're finding on all these things. There are really reasons, and you really got to, and I appreciate this order, for instance, describes the entire history of this particular district, including the fact that by operation of law it may have been dissolved, but there's no mechanism to formally recognize that. Normally this happens in a lot of cases. You'll see it around the state where an entire district is annexed into a city in one fell swoop, and then you can deal with that. But this happened over a period of years.
So what happens if there's money, Jerry, or either of you can answer, if there's money left in one of these accounts, where does that go?
It depends. So this will come up in the Roads End District, and you'll have an interim order perhaps next week. In that instance, based on the annexation, that money belongs to the Lincoln City. And there is money in the treasurer's office, so that will come up. That's a good question.
Yeah.
In other instances, the law provides, you know, where those assets go, where the records go, and so on.
Yeah, I'm going to keep asking questions. I hope you don't mind, because this is kind of
You keep killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. In the case of a sanitary district, they're liable to have underground piping. What happens to the piping that's there? Does that go transferred to a city, or what happens if there's not a transfer? And how do you do this?
Well, so first, let me put your mind to rest on Solace C. They never created anything. They, yeah, they formed the district, and no, our records would indicate that they never did a sanitation system. Okay. So there's nothing in that case. In the other cases, generally, what it says is that the assets and liabilities go to the city where annexed. So that'll come up in Rhodes End. As Wayne indicated, there are variations. It's not simple, so you have to look at each one. But the Rhodes End will probably come up next week, and that is a matter of going to the city, and that had previously.
So are there any that would be in the county that would possibly fall back on the county?
No. The county is not a purveyor. These are special districts. We're not a purveyor of those kinds of services.
Okay, I want to make sure. I mean, you should know that.
It would not dissolve. You know, obviously we wouldn't dissolve one if it still had services and facilities. You know,
well,
exactly.
I was thinking of one that is, as a district gets old and there's repair cost, there are people that would not want to repair it. They would rather just say, okay, it's going away.
But well, they can't.
They have to have the services in order to maintain the properties. You got to have those services. Yeah, and frankly, this is not an uncommon issue out there. You're right. I mean, actually, cities are facing this issue with aging facilities and infrastructure. That's no different for a district. Everybody faces those issues, so it's a common problem.
Well, yeah, look, I never realized all the problems. I thought these were fairly easy things.
No, and that's what I think. The impression was these are easy. This is the reason why we didn't undertake these things. We needed to have someone like Jerry on board who could spend the time to actually track all this stuff down. It's a lot of work to get to this. This is why we didn't dissolve these things before. It's a good instructive exercise on why we didn't do it before.
Okay. And so I sense we're starting with the easy one.
Yeah. And
we're
this is
the easy one. Complicated ones to come.
Yeah, yes. All the other ones. And I met with a group of people from the Coronado Shores Road District yesterday, and that'll be a fifth one that'll come up. That'll probably be done by petition.
Yeah.
That'll be a completely different variation.
Yeah.
And I called the clerk again on that, and there's the timing that we need to work out and all that, but we're moving along.
Will you be the detective and I'll be the one that gets to pull the trap door?
Interesting
hey.
Stuff.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Roy Kenyon, come on down. We've got the order initiating the name change for the portion of Highway 20 that's being transferred to Lincoln County as part of the U.S. Highway 20 PME project.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Roy Kenyon.
Hi. Lincoln County Public Works Director. And I guess supposedly the one that came up with the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, well.
Good work.
Yes. I've got a question, if I could. You know, we're formally initiating the name change process, and I guess barring anything really unexpected, that we will end up formally adopting this name, and yet ODOT has already posted signage with the Crystal Creek Loop name on it. What happens if for some reason we don't follow through with that name? Will ODOT be obligated to change the signs, or their problem?
We would have to ask ODOT.
We'll have further discussion.
To change the name.
Because I'll admit, I was driving back Friday, the first time I drove the new route, and when I already saw Crystal Creek Loop next right, I thought, hey, we haven't made that official yet.
Right. Well, we kind of got the cart before the horse on this one a little bit.
And that was ODOT's pushing, wasn't it?
Well, yes, because ODOT needed to formalize their plans.
Sure.
And part of the planning is signing. Mm-hmm. And those had to be drawn up with their engineers. Mm-hmm. And so it was at least 6 months ago, if not longer, we were asked to supply a name. And, you know, as a group, there was a discussion, and there was a lot of names thrown out. We came up with one that we thought was suitable, sent that to ODOT. They then finalized their design, their signing design, and Crystal Creek Loop was part of that plan. Okay. And so then they continued with that. Now, we know that we have not, Lincoln County has not formally accepted Highway, the old Highway 20 as a county road. That paperwork is still being processed. But, you know, everybody's timeline did not quite line up. And so not it's not really a big deal, but it's just something that we need to continue to proceed with.
Okay, so...
Just to note how this the process
will work. That's what I was going to ask.
If
we adopt this order, what happens
this initiates
now?
The formal name change. We will send out a notice, a written letter, to property owners and residents in that along there, the proposed road here. They will have an opportunity to then comment or object on this. If we receive an objection, we'll have a public hearing on the matter. But I would like to know, maybe with Steve here, just to make it clear, because we've already gotten a couple of inquiries from people, and we'd had these previously of why don't you call it Chitwood Road or Eddyville Road or those kinds of things, and just make it clear again that under our system, the reason we'd actually considered and looked at those proposed names, and that's the vetting you have to do under our addressing system, but because this is tied in very closely to public safety, you don't allow roads with the same name in the same area in there. So we already have roads that have the names Eddyville, Chitwood, Pioneer Mountain, Yaquina, just to name a few. You know, we've got those names already in the system, so those are not available names for the road. So to the extent that people have that question, we'll try and answer that and deal with that. But get the information out that those are not available names for the road.
Okay.
Well, my name, $365 million loop.
No, you don't want to. So if you're ready to do this, it'll give us, we have to get the notice, the letter out within 10 days, and we'll do so.
10 days after we adopt this? Okay.
Well, I think the points have already been made, but I think they're worth emphasizing. Number one, the fact that the signs are up is not a reflection of the fact that we failed to act. It's really was the need to provide a name to ODOT so that they could finish their planning, have those signs prepared under the contract with the construction company. So we're kind of, I guess, between a rock and a hard spot as far as trying to provide them with a name.
Looping back in, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I want
no
to make
pun
it.
Intended.
No pun intended.
And the second point I'd like to make is, again, the point that you just made, Council Belmont, that there were a lot of names tossed around, and Eddyville, Chitwood, Yaquina, you know, Old Highway 20, all those names, and again, primarily for dispatch reasons, which, of course, is public safety. Those names were eliminated, so a lot of thought was given. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to entertain a motion.
I'll move for approval of the order initiating name change for portion of U.S. Highway 20 to be transferred to Lincoln County as part of U.S. Highway 20 Pioneer Mountain Eddyville Project.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor of this, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's approved. Thank you, Mr. Kenyon.
You're welcome.
We move on to commissioner reports. Staff report, Mr. Belmont.
I have two items. Maybe I can do these up front just so we can get this.
Sure.
One is I want to get on the record so that we have this done. We were ready to make the application for the rural development loan that would fund our wellness center, the mm-hmm. integrated wellness center we've been talking about for some time now, and this is a pre-application process. We're really at kind of we've done the first baby steps, and now we're taking the first stand-up steps, I guess you could say, in the process of working on the funding. And this requires that we submit a number of documents here. So what I'd like to do is have the minutes reflect that there is a consensus of the board to authorize the chair, myself, Finance Director Janice Riesbeck, and Health and Human Services Director Cheryl Connell execute the appropriate application documents. We all have different roles in this process to get documents together to make the pre-application go forward. So is there a consensus that we can authorize those folks to do this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Commissioner Thompson, you're okay with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you.
So the minutes will reflect that. And then we have, if they need some kind of official authorization, we've got that in the recorded in the minutes here. Okay. So we're moving forward with that. Second thing is I did want to note that we do have the Community and Economic Development Fund grant applications out. Those are due on Thursday, November 3rd at 5 o'clock in the Board of Commissioners office. Just a reminder that those funds are out there and applications are being received.
Okay. Commissioner reports.
Well, I'll report that last week we had a meeting of the effort to come up with a maritime sector, industry sector, as part of the Oregon Business Council. And we had actually about a dozen people, a variety of representation. We had people from the Oregon Business Council, the Northwest Workforce Investment Board, Regional Solutions, Clatsop Community College, Arnie Roblin's office, the AOC, Association of Oregon Counties, Oregon Coast Community College, Commissioner Thompson was there, Bob Cowan from OSU, and we have private sector Rick Williams there. So some good work, I think, bringing a variety of different aspects of the maritime sector together, and there'll be some additional meetings working to get Oregon Coast Community College working with Clatsop Community College to possibly bring some of their maritime sector education courses to Lincoln County. And I'm also interested in working with representatives from the South Coast to see how we can include them in the development of a maritime sector. It's a broad area. Part of the process we're going to be going through is to narrow it down to specific pieces of maritime activities. So more to come.
So let me, we had two meetings previous to this on
Correct.
This subject.
Correct.
But Doug called this together from the Economic Summit. And I was amazed. We had a different mix of people. A lot of the same people. We had a different mix of people. I was more excited in this meeting to see what Doug accomplished and bringing the players together. And I think we're going to move forward and make an effort to really make some changes in this area, which has bothered me for years. One of the things that came out is if you look at the statistics put out by the Employment Department, it shows there's like one job in the marine sector, but everybody knows Clatsop Community College, and they're testifying, we can't get people out of our department. I mean, there's just, they get hired before they get even through the classes a lot of times. And if they get certified, and of course I know the fishing industry and all this, there's a difference there that we need to have the discussion. And I think Doug's the right player to make this move forward, and I'm glad you're having that.
Thank you. I was excited. A lot of positive enthusiasm, and again, a sense of people coming together and committed to moving forward.
So. Well, one of the big advantages you had was there was a marine technology, they called it a summit, but basically it was a marine technology two-day event that was held at Best Western, and I attended as much of that as I could, most of it, as a matter of fact, but it brought us all together at one point that we're involved with that. One of the things I was excited in the marine technology area is how many students from this area showed up. The teacher from Walport brought her class up. Teachers from Toledo brought their classes up to listen to what was going on in the lead areas of research and to talk about jobs and things like that. And so your timing for your meeting was perfect because it brought the people already together, and the whole thing was good. It's nice to see teachers that are recognizing these job areas for kids from this area that have really a one step up over a kid in Idaho or Montana. They know where the ocean's at.
Well, yeah, a key point, too, is this really talking about the training that will create jobs and their good family wage jobs. So important economic development, important for the county.
Yeah. And I was a little facetious because when I first went to the Capitol building, that was the line they always said, well, you're, how in the world would you be a legislator? You don't even know where the restrooms are.
So. Yeah, we know where the ocean is.
Commissioner Thompson, anything more?
No, that's
sure. All right. Well, in addition to attending to business locally, I've been on the road a bit lately. Last Friday, the Association of Counties Housing Subcommittee went to Eugene. We were hosted by Commissioner Pat Farr, and among other things, we got a look at Opportunity Village, which is a basically a tiny house village housing 30 single adult homeless or couples. None of these shacks have any utilities to them. There's a common bathhouse, cooking area, and clubhouse. It's run by a private mission on industrial land leased from the city. And it's been around for about 3 years now, working quite well. You know, we had a lot of questions. One of the questions I had for Commissioner Farr was the community pushback you always get to doing something like that is people will say, you're just going to make the community a magnet for the homeless. And he said, in the time they've been there, they've accepted a couple of people from one of their neighboring counties, Douglas, but otherwise they've all been locals that they found that the folks who are the truly transient homeless population aren't looking for something like that. That these are local folks who are looking for an opportunity for some stability and to get their lives back on track. And it's been enough of a success that now the same organization is laying the groundwork for the next step, which will be kind of a permanent tiny house village where they actually have full utilities and people buy shares in a cooperative and become homeowners.
Bill, how do they get around the zoning and regulations of building that houses that aren't?
I'm going to have to look into that more, how the city of Eugene permitted it. But I think a lot of it probably is the fact that it's short-term, not permanent occupancy. But they said they've had great city and county cooperation on this. It's largely self-governed by the residents. And they said a few minor problems, no major incidents in the whole time it's been there. And there is a group of people who have been talking and planning and interested in trying to get something like this going in both Newport and Lincoln City. So I think if it's done right, and that is a key thing, that it can be part of the solution for some people. But, you know, and again, they looked at the hard costs. They said Opportunity Village was built with $100,000 in cash outlay plus another $100,000 in donated materials and services.
So can I ask the same question, Wayne? How do they get around our zoning ordinance?
Yeah, putting something like that in an industrial area.
I'll have to find out. I don't know. You know, that's actually, I've been meeting with a number of folks on these issues, and that's the first question I've been asking. I don't know. And I don't know the answer yet.
So maybe you could ask the city of Eugene's.
Yeah, we can inquire at how
they're doing. Zoning department.
Because I don't know
how they managed to permit that. The permanent village is going in a residential area. One of the interesting things about the permanent village, and I think this reflects some things that I've been hearing otherwise, you know, we've got baby boomers like us are aging, and they say, you know, the majority of folks have saved little or nothing for retirement, and they said half the applications they've had so far to buy in this permanent village are people 60 and above. Because they say, you know, for certain folks, they still want the autonomy of their own roof and four walls, but whether they can't afford or just don't want the responsibilities, burdens that go with maintaining a full residence, that they're finding, you know, that they said that was the one surprise, that this is
appealing to so many people in the 60 plus demographic.
Interesting.
Yeah. Steve Sparks, our Stepping Up consultant, and I have also been on the road looking at other communities and best practices related to jail diversion and transitional services. We were in McMinnville yesterday, Oregon City last week. Just some interesting ideas, and you know, certainly some of the things that we might hope to have coming out of the Stepping Up initiative will cost money, but I think there's a lot of things also that we can do with little or no investment, especially getting better communication and protocols between the healthcare and public safety systems. And these visits are just reinforcing our conclusion that doing that sequential intercept mapping exercise, you know, it's basically a process map, is really got to be our next step. I've submitted a formal application to a federal agency, National Institute of Corrections, that if they approve the request, they would come out here and conduct that exercise at no charge. Clackamas did it about 5 years ago. Chris Hoy, who if you might remember him, used to be our jail commander and is now working in the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, said they did it about 6 years ago. They found it of such value. They had so many projects come forward as a direct result of that, that they're gearing up next year. They're going to reconvene all the people, look at the document, and update it. So I think we're starting to build a little momentum on this. Anything else? Okay, now's the time we need to ask for constituent input. Hearing none, we do not have an executive session, so we will reconvene 1 week from today, Wednesday, October 26th, same time and location. We're adjourned.